Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And right now, Mason Graham is joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mason, welcome to the show. Welcome to Cleveland.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, we just played the sound, the draft pick being announced. I will never know the feelings that you might have been feeling to have that moment. So just for a kid who is, you know, grown up as a football player and you achieve this moment, what was going through your mind? What was going through your heart as you were getting drafted, and specifically getting drafted with a top five pick?
Yeah, it's really just a dream come true. You know, I was able to, you know, go blessed the opportunity to go to the draft. So, you know, that's a once in a lifetime thing. So I was over there with all my family, friends, close friends, and some of my high school coaches. So it was really just a good time, you know, have my dreams come true. And then, you know, I had a lot of good friends that were also at the draft. So it was cool seeing, you know, all respected players, you know, get drafted and have their dreams come true too as well.
Now, Mason, we were just having a conversation about happy crying. Did we get a happy cry out of you when you got drafted?
Not when I got drafted, but probably right after. You know, I went to the back and did some media stuff, but I saw my grandma made like a nice voice message to me, and, you know, I got a little emotional there.
I'm going to get emotional. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, when Graham was the one that gets the tears rolling, it's like, oh, my gosh. Mason, you waited with Will Johnson through day one in his draft slide. I think a lot of people commended how classy that seemed of you. Where did that – it's obviously a teammate. It's someone that you care deeply for. Where did that come from in your mind to be like, I got to be my guy here?
Oh, no, I just feel like, you know, that's the type of people, you know, type of person I am. And then, you know, I feel like, you know, if the roles are reversed, we'll be doing the same thing, you know, by my side through, you know, the ups and downs and everything. But, you know, it was just unexpected time for him. You know, a lot of the, you know, frustration on his end, I understand it, you know, didn't go where he wanted to. But, you know, just supporting him at the end of the day, just like he'd support me, and his family was there too. So it was good to, you know, be there for him. And obviously he didn't get picked in the first day, but, you know, he's blessed to be where he's at, and I know he's going to do great things.
Mason, you strike us here as a bit of a low-key guy. A football guy is always applied to guys who just are about football, are kind of low-key. And so I'm asking this because, I mean, you get the attention for winning the national championship 2 years ago and arguably being the best player on it. You went to one of the awards show and there was some attention because of your date that evening. You know, I'm just curious how a guy who, I mean, you seem like you'd just be happy if you could just go in the film room or just go work out or just hang out with your teammates. What's that been like for a guy who kind of seems a little bit more reserved? How has that been getting used to?
Yeah, I've always been a low-key guy, you know, just been about ball. You know, ever since coming out of high school, I came to Michigan and I wanted to, you know, get to the NFL. That's why I chose Michigan with Coach Harbaugh and everyone there. So I'm really just about getting to the highest level and then being at my best. You know, I want to be the best player I can be for, you know, not just myself, but my teammates and, you know, obviously the Cleveland Browns now. So, you know, I want to do whatever it takes to win and, you know, be the best player for the team.
I got to ask you about your wrestling background. Every comp, everything that we read about you, it just kept bringing up that wrestling background. How much of an advantage do you feel like that is in being a multi-sport athlete, but wrestling being the one that goes with you being on the line?
Yeah, I feel like it helps a lot, especially with, you know, interior linemen like O-line and D-line. You know, the battles in a small, compact space, and, you know, there's a lot of the big things I took away from it was, like, leverage, just feeling different, how body weight moves and how you can, you know, fight pressure with pressure. But I just feel like it's really good for, you know, physical and mental toughness as well.
I don't know if you know this. Myles Garrett is a unit. I mean, that man is stacked. Do you think? I can't remember if Myles wrestled. You think you could take Myles in a wrestling match?
I don't know. You know, people always, you know, talked about me as a state champ wrestler. You know, I wasn't that. I went to the state tournament, but I kind of just, you know, went out there and tried my best, and I didn't really have any technique. I was just all pure aggression and, you know, just grit at that point.
This feels like if you wanted to assert your dominance, I'm just saying, like the NFL, very macho place. If you wanted to assert your dominance, it only works if you win. You could challenge Myles to that and see.
Yeah, day one.
Day one.
Myles, this is my line now.
In mini camps and just, you know, just see where it goes from there. I'm just thinking outside the box there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Just excited to work with him, though.
I imagine. I do have to ask you, there's a video circulating about you getting prank called on draft night. Is that a real video? Did you actually get prank called? And what's your reaction to all these players that are getting prank called in their greatest, one of the great moments of their life?
Yeah, that was a real video. I got prank called, but it's kind of weird how it all came along. So the Browns, Andrew Berry and then Coach Stefanski and everyone called me up for my FaceTime video off of Cleveland area code, obviously. And then I answered that, had my conversation, told me they were picking me. I was really excited. Then I got another call like a few seconds after I hung up the phone from another Cleveland number. So I thought it was just like someone from the staff reaching out to me with more information on what's next. So I answered the phone. And then it was someone trying to be Coach Stefanski, but I was kind of confused with the whole thing because they prank called me after I got picked. So he was like, "This is Coach Stefanski here. We're going to pick you." I was like, I was kind of confused. And then he obviously had his moment of glory or whatever you may call that. But I've just been trying to deal with it. You know, there's a lot of people calling me, so I'm going to have to get a new phone here or something.
Mason Graham on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So take us through the draft process for you. Like, you know, what were kind of some of your goals throughout the draft process? And what teams were you kind of most closely linked to throughout the process?
Yeah, I just wanted to take this process for what it is, you know, meeting a bunch of teams. You know, it might become a long and repetitive process, but I wanted to take it, you know, as serious as I wanted to. And, you know, that was the ultimate level. So I just wanted to be really serious about it. And then, you know, obviously it's an interview. So I kind of, you know, did my best. I put my best foot forward. You know, the tape speaks for itself, but, you know, the teams really want to know who I was as a person. So that was pretty cool.
Were you tipped off at all that the Browns had this large of an interest in you?
I knew I was one of the players for consideration, but, you know, once I saw the trade, you know, everything's out of my control, obviously, but, you know, I did what I did on my end. You know, I feel like I had a good visit and with all the coaches and seemed like it would be a good fit. So here we are.
Mason, who was your favorite team growing up?
I never had a favorite team growing up.
How is that possible? Did you watch a lot of NFL growing up?
Oh, no. Yeah, I watched a lot of football. I just never had like a team, really.
That makes this easier.
Mason, I got to ask you about, you know, you say you're slapping Ohio State around not once, not twice, but three straight years, that line, and now you're going to share a locker room with Judkins and a lot of Ohio State players. I'm sure you don't regret any of that, but what went through that moment?
Yeah, no, I don't regret any of it, but it's cool to, you know, join forces with the, you know, the enemy for the past 3 years, but, you know, it's really cool just, you know, I just want to play alongside great players that, you know, just want to win. So Michigan, Ohio State, no matter where you go, you know, I'm going to come in and play with whoever I got.
What's it going to be like to go against Zach Zinter again in practice?
It's going to be really cool. Just, I mean, the battles we had during practice, you know, for my 2 years that I played with him, it was really fun. Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, iron sharpens iron. There's no doubt about that. Is there anyone that has reached out within the Browns that maybe got you excited to hear from, or anyone that maybe we wouldn't think of?
Not really. I mean, it's been hard to kind of navigate because my phone's been, you know, I don't know who's who. People are pretending to be someone they're not. So I've kind of letting it cool down. But I talked to Miles, or he gave a little message to me on draft night. So that's cool.
What's it going to be like? Now, obviously, you got to kind of go out there, got to stay healthy, got to get out there. What's it going to be like to share a defensive line with a player who's already well on his way to Canton?
Yeah, I mean, it's a honor to be, you know, drafted by a team with a, you know, established vet. You know, I hope to learn a lot from him. He's done a lot of great things, and, you know, he's at the peak of, you know, football. You know, he's, you know, one of the best, if not the best right now. So just want to learn as much as I can from him, and, you know, it's just going to be cool tearing it up alongside him and, you know, all the other guys on the D-line.
As I'm sure you stayed watching the draft, and obviously Shador was a big topic of conversation for the 4 months and what turned out to be your draft, are you excited to meet Shador? Is there any sort of, did you feel any sadness when you started to see the fifth round and it be Shador and he's still there and then the Browns take him and then you have a bunch of happiness? What was your reaction there?
Yeah, I'm just cool. You know, there's a lot of controversy about us drafting two quarterbacks, but, you know, I love the competition. You know, I want to play. You know, I just want to get the best players, and I think that's what we did. And just play alongside those guys and, you know, get to know them and, you know, make those guys my new teammates and brothers.
I think JP's one question away. He's the ultimate Shador honk in
town. I love Shador.
I think he's one question away from seeing if he can get Shador's number from you.
Yeah, I don't have his number yet.
You debated it for a second. Yeah. I wondered if Shador had texted you, if he'd been part of the group of people that texted you, but I guess not.
No, I don't even know. I need to clear out this phone. This thing's getting blown up.
All right, Mason, obviously we know you're about football. But we just don't, you know, because you're such a low-key guy, as you've said, you know, what are the other things that Mason Graham is about? How do you spend your off time?
I really spend it, you know, around the facility. You know, in college we didn't get too much time off, so, you know, I was always just getting rehab, treatment, lifting, just in the facility, or, you know, if not, hanging out with my teammates, and then, you know, hop on the game sometimes, play a little video games and have some fun time together.
What video game are you playing?
We play Call of Duty.
Okay. All right. Now, I am like six editions of Call of Duty behind because I stopped playing it when it stopped being World War II, which is like my favorite iteration of the game because I'm 150, Mason. So I'll ask you, what's your favorite part of Call of Duty?
I like the zombies. Like, when I growing up, I played like a lot of Black Ops. Like, when Black Ops 1 was out and then Black Ops 2 and 3, you know, that was my, you know, Black Ops 2 is really the most fun game, in my opinion, that I played growing up with all my friends. We'd be on zombies, get to, you know, be on the microphone together and try to get to the highest level.
You ever go Leroy Jenkins on anyone?
Nah.
I do, all the time. I get bored.
It's the only fun part of the game for me.
I also want to know, if you ever played College Football 2025 after it came out, would you ever play as Ohio State?
I probably wouldn't play as Ohio State, honestly.
All right, that's fair. What about Bowling Green? We're right down the road.
I'd probably play with Bowling Green, maybe.
Okay. I was he's just thinking to himself, why wouldn't I just play with Michigan all the time, you idiot?
Playing at Michigan is a cheat code on those games. I was thinking.
He'll take the cheat code. That's why he went
stripes.
There.
Earn your stripes at BG.
He went there for that cheat
Great
code.
School.
Isn't that right, Mason Graham? So I said, I said cheat. That was the buzzer word there. I'm sorry, Mason.
Mason, we appreciate you, buddy. Welcome to Cleveland. No sign stealing questions for you, buddy. But we do appreciate you. Cannot wait to watch you dominate in brown and orange this year.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you, Mason.
Don't think he'd like the Connor Stallions references.
That's okay. That's a nice kid.
Very nice kid. To our conversation with Mason Graham in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Because he is about two things. One-sentence answers and football.
Okay, I'm glad you at least
said
it. What a
nice kid. No, seriously,
very nice.
Sincerely put up with a fair amount in that interview.
Not long-winded, we'll say that.
No. Not verbose, all right?
No, doesn't have to be.
But concise.
That's a good way to spin it.
Very concise.
That's a good way to spin it, yeah.
But didn't give us, listen, let's give him credit. He didn't give us one-word answers.
No.
He could have been a chotch about that. There was no chotch there. There was very respectful football player vibes.
He sounded like a seasoned vet is what he sounded like. When it comes to the answers. Because, you know, you can easily give us a bunch of, the Shador stuff in between. All these other ways. And he really did.
Now, I do think this begs the question. Because somebody used to work here did text me and said, sounds like a seasoned pro. Like he has been put through media training.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they have my same observation.
All right, so it's either that or he just has no personality. It's definitely one of those two things, or both of them.
He started to light up when we asked about whether or not the prank call was real.
He seems pissed about that.
That was like the play-by-play. Anybody, he gave a whole play-by-play with that answer.
He referenced a few times how much it bugged him, but here was his answer there.
That was a real video. I got prank called, but it's kind of weird how it all came along. So the Browns, Andrew Berry, and then Coach Stefanski, and everyone called me up for my FaceTime video off of Cleveland area code, obviously. And then I answered that, had my conversation, told me they were picking me. I was really excited. Then I got another call like a few seconds after I hung up the phone from another Cleveland number. So I thought it was just like someone from the staff reaching out to me with more information on what's next. So I answered the phone. And then it was someone trying to be Coach Stefanski, but I was kind of confused with the whole thing because they prank called me after I got picked. So he was like, this is Coach Stefanski here, we're going to pick you. I was kind of confused, and then he obviously had his moment of glory or whatever you may call that. But yeah, I've just been trying to deal with it. You know, there's a lot of people calling me, so I'm going to have to get a new phone here or something.
So whoever did that, I'd be very careful walking around these Cleveland streets because he mentioned multiple times, not thrilled that he has to get a new phone because he mentioned that specific thing. Like, hey, have you met Shador? Have you heard about Shador? Have you seen about him? Have you ever shook hands with Shador? Because you were very excited about the Shador question.
I had to keep asking him something.
I mean, I'll tell you that
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The way you asked the question, you sounded like a Shador fanboy.
Okay.
That went from... Did I... Was that over the line?
No, I was trying to figure out how to process that one and to be like, what do I do? Run from saying I like Shador Sanders?
Would you like to be friends with Shador Sanders?
Are you a Mason Graham fanboy? Maybe
yes.
Before that interview. I don't know.
That's a good question. But I'm not like, hey, would you like to be friends, Mason?
Now that might be a bit much. You know, I don't care. What if I ever expressed an interest in being friends with a 22-year-old? You're the one that wants to go to Jax's parties in his basement with all these other 22-year-olds.
That is a gross misrepresentation of the situation.
Begged to be wrestling party. Did he not want to go to the wrestling party with Jax and all his 22-year-old friends?
Did I say I wanted to go, or did I say I want to be invited?
You wanted the invite. I remember the invite.
Why? So I could politely decline.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have zero interest in any relatability with any 22-year-old, so I don't care about that in the slightest bit.
Mm.
Now, did I think from a content perspective, might be nice if Mason Graham talked about the most important part of the draft for the Browns when it comes to attention, and that was Shador Sanders? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. That one's going to That video is going to get at least 500 views, I think.
I mean, if he'd given us a great answer, maybe we would have had something.
No, I hate Shador.
Maybe if he was like, yeah,
I'm glad Shador, he dropped.
Shador texted me, hashtag legendary. We're meeting up for brews later on tonight. Can't wait to hang out with them. And all of a sudden, we have ourselves a hit on our hands here, Nick.
It's funny. We tried. I mean, he's a really, really sincerely nice kid. And that absolutely does shine through. I mean, you threw the Michigan thing there at the end about the cheating, and then I made the mistake of saying the word we don't say, Connor Stallions, and he still said goodbye. There was a debate. There was. Because there were a couple times where there were gaps in between our question and his answer.
Yeah, I didn't know the phone wasn't working right or if he was just thinking a lot.
I was debating whether he was going to actually answer and say goodbye.
Now, I did think it was really funny how so every draft preview that I read and everything about Mason Graham that I read, they kept bringing up the idea that he's like this awesome wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He's just this great world-class wrestler. And it made it seem like he was like one of the best wrestlers in the state, or really in the country. And the idea that he was like, no, I can help me, but I wasn't really great at it. I just kind of used my brute force to just win matches. That was refreshing. That was very nice. And that was good insight.
But I think he was just being humble.
I mean, he said he didn't win states. He said he went to state, but he didn't win states.
Yeah, but California's a big-ass state. Like, there's a lot of wrestlers in that state. So to go to state.
His words, not mine, that he said he had no technique. He just used brute force.
Mason Graham, great stuff with Mason. Seems like a very nice young man. We don't have to worry anything about Mason Graham. The Call of Duty thing was funny because he's just like, I like killing zombies. And I was like, that's the most 21-year-old answer. Here's the thing, though. I haven't played Call of Duty in so long. Because, again, I think I stopped at whatever the World War II one was. That, like, when people talk about it now, it might as well be a completely different game.
Yeah, I don't know what year the year that your Call of Duty came out in, but it was not when Mason Graham had played it.
I believe Mason Graham was about 9 when that version of the game came out. Mac, you look itching to talk there. You okay?
No, I was just thinking about the year that the Black Ops came out that he was talking about. I think it was 2011. Mm. So just trying to think back to that. So,
Oh, the game he likes to play has been around for 14 years.
Yeah,
and he still plays it.
Yeah, Black Ops came out 2011. Black Ops 2, I want to say, came out like 2014. I want to say.
Mac does have a nice niche on the show. You can tell us about these things.
Call of Duty knowledge.
Yeah,
I have no idea about it.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you and your 22-year-old friends can get that going, too, on the weekend. Watch some WrestleMania and take in some Call of Duty together.
Have you heard about Shador? Would you like to be his friends?
Maybe.
Can he help me be friends?
Now, him and Jax would be, I think they could be good friends.
Jax would look like Michael Jackson next to Mason Graham.
I thought you were going
to
make a Judkins joke.
I was trying to think of like an electric personality that just comes alive. Jax would just be, because Jax is a low-key kid himself. Jax would be like The Rock. He'd be like Dwayne Johnson. It'd just be that comparative to young Mason Graham there. Now, for Mason Graham to a wide receiver yet unsigned from the NFL draft, anybody else kind of blown away that Isaiah Bond, the Texas wide receiver, hasn't signed yet?
Yeah, I'm interested in the story, and I'm interested for a couple different perspectives. I want to see if they could take somebody. They just took Deontay Johnson, and he's all sorts of a headache. I want to see if they would go down that road again and go after someone that he claims false allegations and coercion attempt. But he was supposed to be a mid-round pick. There's a lot of talent there. You could treat it like a third, fourth-round selection. I just don't think the Browns are the team to be bringing these type of people in. But I didn't think it would Deontay Johnson, and that didn't stop him either.
So it's interesting. Bond, actually, I don't know if you said this just there, filed a lawsuit against the person who accused him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a part of the story. In the NFL, I was surprised that didn't maybe sway people. All right, if we talk about
did they just think it was status quo? Is that all they thought about it maybe? The timing of it was really awful for him, right?
Yeah.
And the idea, it was April 10th that he turned himself in on the sexual assault warrant. Mm-hmm. There's just not enough time to clear your name to everyone.
And it's interesting, okay, here's the thing. Isaiah Bond is a really fast kid. He's kind of the typical wide receiver out of Texas. Like, I don't know that I love the wide receivers that keep coming out of Steve Sarkisian's offense there. But here's where I struggle. Like, on one hand, because of what he's been accused of, I can't go all in and be like, they should go get this guy. And I can't even, like, because we had the Deontay Johnson thing the other day.
Yeah.
Where it's like, why are we even doing the Deontay Johnson thing? Like, when great franchises say, no more from you, in season when they're trying to win a championship like Baltimore and Houston did last year.
Yeah.
Even then, I can't be like, well, I'd rather have Isaiah Bond than Deontay Johnson. Because the thing that I struggle with is NFL teams, I don't want to say they don't care, but when it comes to talent, especially cheap talent, I mean, Lyle Collins there was a rumor out of him when he was in the draft where he was supposed to be a first, second-round pick. He went undrafted because there had been a rumor spread about him that he was involved in a murder in I think, Louisiana. And it turned out that he actually wasn't even a suspect. He had just been interviewed because he knew the person.
Yeah.
That before that even happened, he signed as an undrafted free agent with Dallas. So there is a part of me like, if teams have yet to sign Isaiah Bond, and we are 5 days removed
from round.
You think
there's like much more to this?
I mean, I would imagine like teams. The Browns don't always seem to do their due diligence, but it does seem as if they're, I don't want to say collusion, but it does seem like I can't believe the kid's not signed.
I assumed a team like the Eagles, for instance, not the Eagles necessarily, but a team like the Eagles who's taken on Jalen Carter and all sorts of guys that come with a little bit more baggage than others. Like those type of teams, the teams we look at that have a lot of success and have been able to take these guys, and the Ravens are one of those teams as well. I just assumed he'd already be signed by one of them.
So if we talk about, is the talent worth it? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
If the Browns, and again, the Browns have people that work for the organization that should be able to suss this stuff out. In fairness, their due diligence previously, when being flat out told by teams, hey, don't sign this guy, he's a problem, they've not listened to it. So I don't even know that I can hey, if the Browns signed him, it means they did their due diligence and they're comfortable. We'll see. But, like, in a season where you didn't take a wide receiver in this draft, you have a bunch of young guys that none of whom should stop you if you think this kid was a second or third round pick. He just was a victim of circumstance. None of them should stop you from doing this because this is the perfect job for a kid like that. I mean, like, a perfect opportunity for a kid like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, heck, you could make the roster, and by the end of the season, you could be the number one or number two receiver. That's how thin things are in Cleveland. At this point, I don't know how I could respond to this, given the lack of clarity here, and feel good about if the Browns actually did it.
It's just the only thing I would say is that the Browns have shown us nothing when it comes to. There are two type of teams in the NFL: the type of teams that take chances on guys like this, and the type of teams that immediately shut the door and say, we're not going to go ahead and do this. The Browns are the first team. Like, the Browns are that type of team that would take a chance on someone like this if they thought that there was enough value there, and they thought that there was enough that they could go ahead and make the case that he's headed in the right direction. I think the fact that it just happened so close to the draft and it hasn't been cleared up is what's holding them back here.
So I think what I struggle with is, again, if you sign this kid tomorrow, and the worst case scenario is you get him in the building, you don't like him, and you cut him immediately.
Yeah,
right. Like it is the definition of low risk, high reward. I guess the thing that had me so disappointed about the Deontay Johnson thing is you didn't really have to make any deal with the Devils this year or this offseason because you're not trying to win a championship this year. And so I was so disappointed about the Deontay thing. Like, let the locker room heal, right? Get all the guys who are just problematic for one reason or another the hell out of there. So just the good dudes can go out there and you can just disseminate who's a good dude, who's the future of the franchise, and who's not.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I guess that's a struggle for me of like, if they did it, I can't necessarily knock them. But I'd probably feel, for different reasons, again, Deontay isn't accused of anything like this, and I should draw the line there. I mean, I was pretty incensed that they signed Deontay in the moment. I probably have to feel some similar way about this as well.
And I think I would too as well, but it's just they've shown us that they are willing to take chances on guys like this. They have been. So like if it does happen, I think you'll be mad about it. I think I'll be mad about it. We'll talk about it. And ultimately, though, we shouldn't be surprised that it happens if it does go down that way.
And here's the thing. Because of the Deontay thing, I definitely – like it's now compounding of like if you bring Deontay in and this kid and it's like, all right, what are we doing to the locker room here? And people can dispel this as, well, it's only training camp. It's only the preseason. To hell, guys. Like, training camp, mini camps, training camp, and the preseason, that's when you're trying to build culture. That's when you're trying to build togetherness. Bringing divisive dudes in the locker room at that point, I think, is just as bad as if you brought them in the middle of the year. 216-474-0092. I want to say, listen, I know we had our little jokes there. Thank you again to Mason Graham for joining us. Seems like a really nice kid. Seems like it truly is all about ball, but Isaiah Bond is yet to be picked up. Does the Deontay Johnson signing take you out of the running for a move like this? In case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.